Thank you very much.
That was the year I moved here, 87. I was a young lad.
Thank you very much.
I had a beautiful head of hair.
I just make these facts up myself, you know?
Oh, well, I like it. So do you think those people in Chicago are any better than us? Because I've lived in both places, man, and this is way better lifestyle than what they got going on up there.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's well, hold on. It's 2 o'clock in the morning right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. There is no doubt that living in Kansas City as opposed to living in an extremely dense urban core area, I mean, there is a quality about that. You know, there's a quality of being in a place where you're super dense and it's super urban and there's a lot going on around you. But it's also nice to be able to, I don't know,
spread your wings.
Move around, man. Roll them bows, you know? Just have some space around you. And there's no doubt that the space that we have around us is not very well utilized. We could be more dense, you know, in Kansas City. And I don't mean
we couldn't be any more dense, but
the population of town could be a little more dense, you know, and that would probably be beneficial and you could have, you know, more activity going on. But, I mean, reality says, have you ever been to a place like San Francisco? Because San Francisco is the most, I believe, densely populated part of the country. And nobody's got a backyard, and everyone's got a dog, and they have these little dog parks that are the size of my backyard that you have 400 dogs in. And there was a rate, an incident that took place over and over again, you know, years back, and you don't hear about it as much anymore, where dogs that lived in apartment buildings were literally going, you know, losing it and attacking neighbors in these apartments, getting out of their respective apartments, attacking neighbors and killing and eating people in apartment buildings. This happened like 4 or 5 times in San Francisco where people would get mauled by dogs.
Like
and dogs,
bulls or Labradors?
Big dogs. I mean, you know, if you get killed by a poodle, I think that's your fault. I don't think you can blame the dog for that one or the high density of the city for that one. But the idea being is that dogs are an extension of human beings because of how we've domesticated them. Their emotions become a regurgitation of ours, etc. And we get the dog whisperer on to go deeper into this if we really need to. But the idea being is that, I mean, the friction that's created from people living that densely. You know, and hey, San Francisco is a beautiful town. It's right on the bay. Chicago is a beautiful town. It's right on Lake Michigan. I mean, there's a lot that those places have to offer, but there's a sacrifice that is made for living in a place like that, and a hustle that you have to do. And a lot of that hustle is just a kind of jogging around in circles, you know, just trying to make things happen, get things done.
Nah, man, that hustle is slavery.
Well, right, you can call it slavery if you want. I mean, my point is that you just spend a lot of time not accomplishing anything but moving really fast. Not getting anything done, but being in that rat race, that slavery, if you want to call it. But again, Chicago's an amazing place to visit. I wouldn't want to live there.
San Francisco was a beautiful place to visit, but I don't want to live there.
Unless I was a billionaire.
In San Francisco?
Hell yeah, I'd have a houseboat to live out in the bay.
Half a million a year would cover it. You could live comfortably half a million a year.
Yeah, maybe so, but not on a houseboat. Big pimped out houseboat.
Yeah, I'm sure, Ben, you should get the best houseboat you could get to.
I would try. I would get a houseboat and I would dock it right next to Michael Savage's houseboat.
You'd have a record player on your houseboat, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. A turntable, sir. I would have one of those.
I would hope you invite me over.
Sure, man. Why not? All right, Kitch. We'll talk to you again in the future sometime.
I promise. God willing, you will.
Okay, very well.
Good night, guys.
Bye-bye. 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI if you want to call in. Yeah, because they're still not done. I mean, they just finally completed 435 when they turned 470 into, and then they got the 291 and the whole thing. It's a big-ass highway. And what about I-49?
Yeah,
do you know anything about that?
I'm not even sure what.
All the way to
Oklahoma.
That?
What prompted that? Just people like me going back and forth to Oklahoma?
NAFTA Superhighway.
I'm sure it has to, yeah, has so to do
with I-49 doesn't go to Oklahoma.
Yeah,
it go down. It goes down to the Arkansas.
St. Joe, and then you're at 244, and you're out of there. Or
St. Joe?
244.
Joplin.
Joplin. I don't know why I do that all the time. But, yeah, you get down to Joplin, and you take 44, not 244.
To Oklahoma.
244 is a connection.
But I-49 stops at the Arkansas state line, essentially, and then it starts up.
Back to 71?
No, right. And then it starts back up on the other side of Arkansas in Louisiana and then goes all the way to New Orleans.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they can't convince Arkansas to build the interstate through their mountains. I don't know if you've ever driven through northern Arkansas.
I've never driven through Arkansas.
Beautiful drive.
I mean, I've done the corner. You know?
Arkansas is an immensely beautiful place.
I did
place.
Once go across.
It may sound like I'm being sarcastic right now because I have that tendency.
This is the first place I ever heard of it, heard actually an FM talk radio station.
Arkansas?
Yeah.
What were they talking about?
Fayetteville. I don't remember. I was through there fairly quickly. I mean, they had something.
But Arkansas is a very beautiful but very hilly place.
Right.
They call them mountains, which I'm not sure that they actually are. But very close.
Right.
Very close to being mountains. Very beautiful place. So that's, you know, I-49 goes all the way down to New Orleans. They just can't connect the two I-49s through Arkansas. But it has everything to do with the intermodal port that they have out there in Richard Skubauer's former Air Force, the intermodal smart port, right? Where they've moved the border to some degree.
No, I was
to South Kansas City.
I was under the impression that that was the FEMA camp.
Yes.
Richard Skubauer. Or is that?
Yes, that is also the FEMA camp.
In between.
There's plenty. There's many. FEMA camps everywhere. That's also the smart port thing. You remember when the NAFTA Superhighway was getting built?
Right.
Well, what happened to that? What happened to the NAFTA Superhighway?
They just commissioned 49 last summer.
Yeah, they just stopped talking about it, and they're just doing it anyway.
I mean, because in effect, that's what you're saying, right? That is what I-49 is, because it just happened as far as I was concerned, because I was driving back from Oklahoma last summer, and...
And all of a sudden, you think you're on 71, and
well,
there's all these
signs
say I-49,
like,
you're like...
What's that about?
Where the hell did we get
off?
They're
like, starting next weekend, I-49. And then that's it. I mean, it is literally the last year that they've... And now they say it on the news reports and everything, and traffic, you know...
I-49. But it doesn't become I-49 until you get on the other side of the Grandview Triangle, right?
Right. And then it just kind of... There's
Which
really
kind of
makes
sense.
It's not any different as far as I can... tell, I mean...
No, because 71 was an interstate from here to Joplin anyway.
Right.
From
Triangle to Joplin. It's unlike any other interstate in that, like, if you take 70 all the way across, I don't think there's any place where you can just... where it's just divided and not, like... you need an exit to get onto it. Because you can still do like you've always been able to do. I mean, I'm pretty sure I even saw the guy selling walnuts or whatever on the side of the road.
Yeah, are you supposed to buy walnuts off the side of the road?
They do it. That, peaches, watermelon, you get down towards the... a little further south. But you know what I'm saying? Like... other places, every other Interstate 80 across Iowa, all of them. I remember kind of thinking that in order for it to be a highway, an interstate, it was like there are these access points, and it's not like that, at least not as yet, or it wasn't last summer, I should say. So it's like a name change. Speed limits, I guess. But.
So I read, you know, it was a bad week. Let's change subjects here. Right. It was a bad week for anarchists.
What'd they do now?
No, it's nothing. The anarchists didn't do anything, Mike. It's just the anarchists always get...
Just the arcs did.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't that. It's more... Do you know, have you ever heard of the Sovereign Citizen Movement?
I've heard of it. I'm
Jake, fill us in.
Basically that, most of the current laws, the UCC, all that stuff, don't apply to the actual person.
But what's the UCC?
What's that?
What's the UCC?
Universal...
Uniform.
Uniform Commercial Code.
Criminal Code, right?
Commercial.
All right, very well.
Or Commerce. Department of Commerce issues birth certificates. Basically, that those statutes, regulations, laws, if you will, apply to the corporate personage, the paperwork you, the all capital letters you, but your actual self isn't governed by any of that because there is no legitimate government.
So sovereign citizens kind of take this idea of anarchism to a whole new level.
Right.
Do you know why they write their names in lowercase letters and sometimes include hyphens and
now
colons?
I've heard before. The hyphens. Contracts has to be capital letters as the corporation.
Yeah. If you arrange a hyphen and a colon in a cute way on a piece of paper, do you know what it looks like?
Mile? A hyphen and a colon?
A hyphen and a colon. That would be a parentheses and a colon. But a hyphen and a colon, if arranged correctly on a piece of paper,
male parts
might resemble male parts, and that's something that sovereign citizens apparently use. For what reason? Why is that inserted in their names? To
give them the old middle finger, the old.
Yeah, maybe so. But anyway, there was a couple of homicidal maniacs. Well, okay.
They were killing cops?
They hadn't actually killed any cops yet. They wanted to kill cops. So these sovereign citizens, this movement, which is kind of an extension of some white supremacy groups and anti-government groups, but at its heart, it is just this idea of good old-fashioned anarchism. And some of these people, I guess, are all right. And some of them are just wackos. Do you know some all right ones?
Some of them are all right. And
some of these people are all right, and some of these are attempted homicidal maniacs. Because these two fools that were arrested in Las Vegas, because they had made, one of these guys is an ex-felon and a sex criminal. I believe a pederast sex criminal. And this older lady, this guy's like 42, and he met up with this older lady, and they're in Las Vegas. They had outfitted some house in Vegas that they were going to use to torture police.
Whoa.
And do you know how they were going to torture police? They were going to confront police officers during traffic stops and kill them if they resisted what? I'm not really sure. I don't think there was a real well
like
thought out.
They were going to kidnap them and bring them to
this
house?
Well, right. So you get pulled over because a lot of times these sovereign citizens will make their own license plates. Right. Have you ever seen the homemade license plate before?
No.
No? I mean, some guy that writes a piece of, my tags got stolen. My license plate number used to be.
Right. I've seen those.
The homemade license plate. Yeah. But I guess these, I don't know, what does a sovereign citizen's homemade license plate look like, Jake?
A hyphen and a colon.
And that's it. Hyphen, colon, government.
What does the homemade license plate look like? And they make their own driver's licenses, too. Make, homemade license plates.
Colon and a parenthesis.
Right. And a homemade driver's license. And then you just, apparently you drive around.
I authorize myself to drive wherever I may drive.
Yeah, because the laws of this land are illegal, and it's...
Well, I am a sovereign unto myself.
With that whole... what's that guy's name? The Maritime Admiralty Law?
Jordan Maxwell?
Yeah, there you go. So actually, America is governed under Maritime Admiralty Law. These people, they're a little out there. So like I said, some of them are okay. Some of them apparently are homicidal maniacs. And that's really the problem here.
They have
a torture room. So these people that identify themselves as sovereign citizens, which is really just anarchism. And there's nothing wrong with anarchism. Anarchism is actually the American way, which people fail to remember, unfortunately.
But they've gotten the bad rap.
No, apparently.
The Sacco and Vanzetti's.
My problem. The Sacco and Vanzetti's. Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. My problem here is that they're calling these people sovereign citizens when they really should just be referred to as homicidal maniacs.
Yeah, crazy.
Right.
Because people who are driving around with make-believe license plates, waiting to confront police officers and to then attack them if they resist, it's just like, come on, buddy. And especially if you really feel as though the laws of the American government do not apply to you, then, I mean, why are you starting with the traffic cop? You know what I mean? It kind of seems like...
I'm here to enforce the city's laws.
Right. You might want to bump things up a couple
you
of notches.
Acknowledge the city? Yeah.
Why are you starting off with the traffic cop? Why are you picking a fight?
I guess anarchists
with the
don't,
traffic
right?
Cop?
They don't acknowledge even city government, right?
So Alan Brucci and Devon Campbell Newman plan to confront police officers during traffic stops and kill them if they resisted. And all this illustrates the volatility of official interactions with people committed to the idea of fighting governmental authority. I mean, for the love of God, traffic police, is this really the governmental authority that we're... is this what we should be most concerned with? Jake?
No.
Yeah, okay, good. I mean, I think that there is a bigger fight to fight out there in regards to this. But that's why I'm not a sovereign citizen. Which also is part of the Christian identity movement, which is also part of the some of these white supremacy groups. I'm not saying that all, Christian identity people are white supremacists or all sovereign citizens are Christian identity people. But these circles kind of travel together. Right? There's a
crazy circle.
Right. Yeah, they're in the crazy circle together.
The
correct.
Venn diagram meets in crazy.
These people are not anarchists. They're homicidal maniacs. And that
exactly.
is just, and there was, a couple of sovereign citizen people, according to them, who were pulled over in Louisiana, or maybe it was Arkansas.
It was Arkansas.
Was it Arkansas? This is maybe 2 years ago, who, over a simple traffic ticket, ended up killing the police and then got killed themselves. But I just don't understand how making yourself a martyr... I mean, Jake, you might understand this because of all your fun with driving around and dealing with the police as they pull you over. I mean, do you think that that is the point at which you're supposed to make yourself a martyr for freedom and patriotism or the Republic of the United States or whatever? I mean, seems like there's another... I mean...
You could do that in court.
Well, and that's the... See, okay, well...
You could show up at the court.
The cute part is...
I defy your right to give me a ticket, not...
Last Friday, these two people, David Allen Brutschi, I don't know how to say this guy's last name, Brutschi and Devon Campbell Newman. I feel like Devon Campbell was an R&B artist from the 80s or something like that.
It's Tevin Campbell.
Oh, okay, good. So, the two stood before a judge Friday and told them they didn't recognize his authority to keep them in jail. That was right before the bailiffs came and took them back to jail. Las Vegas Justice of Peace Conrad Hafen had none of it, though, and said, so noted. I mean, the logic of that. I don't recognize your authority to keep me here in this jail. You know, fair enough. Then, but you're going back to your cell, though.
Right.
You know, I mean,
The way you assert that belief.
Everyone else just saw the judge's authority. It might not be in your mind. And that's kind of the reality of the way government works. You might not feel it is a legitimate authority over you, but once they have placed you in chains and put you behind bars, I mean, your feelings don't matter so much anymore, right? And that's why maybe if you're really interested in a concept of freedom or anarchism, you might want to pick a bigger fight than traffic citations.
What were they originally picked up for? How did this all come to be?
This all came to be because they were putting it out there, and they made themselves known to local law enforcement that they did not respect their authority. And so they were putting that out there that we're going to drive around. This guy's been arrested a whole bunch. He had 17 bench warrants. 17 bench warrants.
Which is not going to court, right?
Well, essentially. I mean, he had 17 reasons he had to go to court that he hadn't gone to court.
So
and then
why
they
not just become state representative?
And they start following these people around that become a state representative. So they start following these people around, and they follow them to this lair that they had created, and apparently they went in there, and it was like a makeshift, a Craigslist torture chamber.
Jeez.
Well, that's good.
And they actually did not kill any cops, but they apparently are getting charged with that or something.
Having the plans, the conspiracy to commit.
Which, who knows? These guys probably had cigarettes waiting on their pillow when they got into county. Don't you think?
I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Cigarettes are currency in prison. If they are excited about your arrival,
they throw them on your pillow.
Yeah, they give you a couple cigarettes on your pillow. I'm making that up, though. That's just how it works in my mind. I've never been to prison.
The prison in your mind works that way.
Yes, the prison in my mind works that way.
In prison, man, I'm going to make
Panopticon
it.
Radio.
I've got cigarettes on my pillow.
Check it out, man. I got me some Newports, man. Maybe this won't be so bad.
Right.
If somebody would please, that's in prison, write me a letter at P.O. Box 32250, Kansas City, Missouri, 64171. That's Paragon Radio, care of Benjamin, P.O. Box 32250, Kansas City, Missouri, 64171. And let me know if that's actually how it works. When you guys get excited, when you know you got some fresh fish coming in that you want to just get some respect
fresh
to.
Fish.
I mean, do you think Michael Vick got some cigarettes on his pillow when he showed up in prison?
Ooh.
I imagine somebody like Michael Vick came in like flexing. Like,
what about OJ? Do you think he got cigarettes on his pillow? Maybe so, huh? Maybe
I would imagine.
But these people are lunatics. I mean, because if you say that you don't, I mean, it's just really picking that fight. Now, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which we all know how great they are, said not all people who consider themselves sovereign citizens are violent, but that traffic stops involving people driving with fake license plates or without registration or driver's licenses is a typical flashpoint between cops and sovereigns. And so then you get pulled over by a cop. The cop says, I don't recognize your fake driver's license. You know, I don't recognize your fake license plates.
And I don't recognize your authority to recognize
exactly.
License
so then
plates.
Flashpoint ensues. And so people get arrested. People get charged. People say, I don't recognize the court's authority that has charged me. I don't recognize this and that. So then they start to file paperwork. Nonsensical.
Now, I remember this
legal,
in the 90s. They would do like
legal
liens
paperwork
against judges.
And they're doing
stuff.
This. There was an article in the New York Times about this very thing.
I declare I own the courthouse.
Right, exactly. And you put liens out because every state
so they can't
has
sell
to
the
accept
courthouse.
Any lien that gets put through. You can put any lien, which is essentially going, you know, Judge so-and-so owes me $50 billion. So I'm going to put liens out on every single piece of public property or piece of private property that he owns, which you can go... You can look anyone's name up in Jackson County and see what property they own, and then you can put liens out because you say, this person owes me money, so I'm putting a lien out on their property because they owe me money. Now, that's totally fraudulent to do. Completely fraudulent to do that. It's illegal to do that. But the catch is that once you start the process, it's really hard to erase.
Right.
And you can get charged with doing a fraudulent lien, but it takes a little bit of time. And, you know, apparently one of the sovereign citizen gurus calls this death by a thousand paper cuts. Which I don't know if that's an ancient Chinese proverb or not.
Do they have paper in ancient China?
Indeed.
Well, of course,
Sam,
they had everything back then. What do you think they built their walls out of? It was rice paper.
Right. I once read this book talking about lost knowledge, and like they actually had something akin to a typewriter in ancient China, but it just wasn't useful, and so it was just one of those little. Some dude had it. But it wasn't like on the market in China. I don't know why I felt that fit.
Death by a thousand paper cuts. Sovereign citizens. Give an anarchist a bad name, man, because that's what these people... I'm glad they don't call them anarchists, because this is essentially the idea, is going, the government doesn't have ultimate authority over me, I do. It's a concept that's been lost in our country, that people, and it's not about individuals necessarily being anarchist, it's about communities being anarchistic, where communities decide. And anarchism is true democracy. That's what it is. And at the very least, then people who are in anarchistic communities would then have representatives go to the government to make other decisions for them, if need be.
How's the Free State Project going? I haven't checked on them in a while.
I don't think it's going so well. Been paying attention? The news
no,
out there.
But that's a similar concept. If people are unaware that enough like-minded people move to one place and they can essentially vote themselves sovereign.
And beware, that one place is not Northern Colorado.
Yeah.
Northern Colorado wants to secede from Colorado, but if that were to take place, the cool part of Colorado would still be the old Colorado. Just so we're clear.
That Free State Project, for those who don't know, that was New Hampshire, right? Like
right.
The plan was to have libertine...
Yeah, like 100,000 people would constitute a large enough voting bloc that they could essentially vote out the corruption, in theory.
All I know, because it's not like high on my radar, but there was a libertarian podcast that I was listening to for a little bit. Oh, probably last summer. Year ago or so. That they, maybe 2 years, man, time flies, but... they would advertise. They actually broadcast from New Hampshire, and there was a real estate agent that would come on. Or no, they didn't. They broadcast from Phoenix, but there was a real estate agent that had bought some advertising time on their podcast, and he would come on and he would say, Are you a liberty-minded individual and want to make a difference? Move to New Hampshire with part of the Free State Project. And he that was his practice, was to find you places to live.
Was it the racist gold dealer?
I don't know.
What was that guy's name?
Jim
what?
Is that Cederson guy?
Jim Cederson! You got it, man. Ding, 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 ding. He was in Prescott, I think.
He had some connection to Kansas City.
He was on KCXL.
How did I miss this?
That make-believe radio station in Liberty.
It's really there, Ben. Stop it. I bought a water filter. Quit it.
Jim Cedarstrom. We should call him up one night, man.
Does he? How did I miss? Is he?
I have no idea. No, he was always breaking out a ethnic slur that wasn't as offensive as it was just kind of old.
Yeah, about...
Did he call people colored or something?
No, no, it wasn't about black people. It was
flying carpet or something.
Yeah.
Rug pilots.
I mean, it wasn't about hating on black people. It was just the rest of the world.
No, right. I'd heard him say rug pilot and beaner on two separate
videos. Really? I am not familiar with rug pilot. Oh,
Alibaba and the 40 Thieves.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
Flying carpets.
Aladdin's
rug pilot.
Flying carpet. Wow.
I mean, not to. I mean, it's just funny to me. I'm not trying to hate on anyone out there. But
that's amazing.
All right, let's go to the phones. 816-931-5534, that's 921-KKFI. You're on the radio.
Oh, this is Russ calling in from downtown.
Good morning, Russ.
Hey, man. Hi, guys. I find it somewhat interesting about anarchists that there are plenty of places in the world they can go live if they want to really be free.
Give us some ideas.
Venezuela.
What's that?
Give us some ideas.
Well, for example, I mean, you could move to Somalia. That's a pretty happening place if you want, you know, to be your own king, have your own rule.
There is no government there.
Well, practically, there's no government there.
Except for...
Somaliland.
Well, right. I mean, there is no government there except for you have plenty of CIA there and plenty of Joint Special Operations Command there running the show. And then you have...
Well, that does seem to be the case, but... Now, I find it, I mean, I've always found it interesting that, you know, people talk about revolution and, you know, they want to see the government overthrown, all these different things. But yet, I ask myself, do I really want a zombie revolution? I mean, do I really want to be part of a zombie revolution?
Well, we all know the answer to that, Russ. Yeah, of course you do.
Well, actually, maybe a zombie one, but not, no, I'm just saying that, you know.
I thought that's why you lived in Buckner.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how the high crime rate in Buckner.
Absolutely.
Must be spilling over from the meth capital of the world, Independence.
Somebody stole
Ground
all of Billy Bob's
zero.
Teeth.
Ground zero for the zero zombie apocalypse.
Are you?
Well,
being,
no,
are
just,
you being?
I'm just saying that a lot of people seem kind of glib about the whole idea of. You know, let's overthrow the government, and then I ask, well, replace it with what?
Another government. The military.
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't want to live in anarchy myself. Maybe you guys do, but I don't.
Well, anarchy is the concept of people looting and shooting. You know,
that's what I'm talking about.
I'm
talking about
right.
Going to an extreme.
I'm not talking about, you know, post-Katrina New Orleans. I'm saying that people ultimately are taking responsibility for themselves. I'm talking about libertarianism in a practice as opposed to a metaphor.
Right. Just
well, I understand what you're saying. I'm not talking about, you know, from where you're coming from or the idea that people should have as much freedom as they can tolerate. I'm just saying a lot of people, it's just like a lot of people that talk about such things. I don't think they really thought it out that well in their own mind. And maybe they've seen too many movies, or maybe they hate their life so much they think it's greener on the other side when it's really not.
Well, and some people like something to fight against. Anarchy,
well, that's
literally
true.
Defined as, you know, without rule. Like, we should be able to live without a ruler. Not without rules and not without, you know, a code of conduct, but without somebody instructing you to do this because they said so. Anarchy. Without an archy.
Well, I understand that, and I don't have a problem. You know, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying that, you know, it's like you guys are talking about the problems in the inner city, you know, falling apart, and what to do about Detroit, you know, turning it into a big farmland or whatever. And it just seems like it comes back to the same point that there, you know, most people are just followers. You know, I put myself in that boat. We expect somebody else to solve our problems for us.
Exactly, exactly. And that's, I think, by and large, what you have in regards to, you know, the absence of ambition in a lot of the inner city is that it's just like you look around, you see what was once there, you see that you're living in the shell of something that was once great, and you're just going, I'm helpless in this situation. I'm powerless in this situation. Somebody else is going to have to come clean this mess up. You know, and that's a That's something that's taken place throughout this this country as we have deindustrialized and we've seen our urban core completely fall apart. Because what was once built by something great cannot be fixed by something so meek. And then you just have, you combine that with just the simple reality. I mean, how many people today are living on government assistance? I mean, the numbers astronomical.
Yeah, but I think that's just a reality that people are going to have to get used to the idea that for whatever reason, there's going to be millions of people that are just not really doing anything. Their only real function is to consume.
Sure.
And they provide jobs for the people that are providing goods and services for them.
Sure. That's why Family Dollar can, or Dollar General or Dollar Tree or whatever, needs to open up another store within 10 blocks of itself on Troost because, you know, hey, people are consuming this crap. No, I mean,
to me, this is my problem, and it's not, if you leave out the conspiracy theories, I really don't think that there's a cabal of people that are trying to totally destabilize the country. I just think it's, the country's over 200 years old, and there's, you know, most, it's the longest running democracy in the world, quote unquote, a republic. And, you know, the United States is kind of like the old man now. It's already had its heyday. It needs to be reborn somehow without, you know, not necessarily through a revolution, but reborn somehow, rejuvenated.
But that is, unless we are going to view ourselves as being different than the previous 200,000 years of humanity, which maybe we're, let's start with 5,000 years ago. You know, the idea of civilization, the Assyrians or something. You know, unless we are going to view ourselves as being different than them on some sort of, you know, evolutionary, genetic level, I mean, we are destined to the same fate.
Trash heap of history.
Right. So, we have peaked. We are now declining, you know, and we were told in the 80s and the 90s that we were, you know, declining in manufacturing, but we will be reborn as a service economy. You know,
here we are
in 2013, and I don't know that the service economy has actually been able to compete with the manufacturing economy that we used to have in regards to the standard of living of people who were not highly educated and specialized in their skills. I don't think that's happened. I think we're seeing that is not a reality. And so,
I know you don't like my idea of a $50,000 stipend, but just hear me out just for a second on this. If you gave everybody over 18, you would exclude obviously Bill Gates. You would exclude people that are wealthy to try to keep this manageable. But if you gave somebody, you know, whether it's $50,000 or just make it $20,000 a year stipend, and that doesn't mean you couldn't get a job, et cetera, et cetera. But what would you do? If you gave somebody $20,000, they knew they had $20,000 a year coming in, no matter what. And at the same time, you said, look, you will no longer, if you take this money, you will no longer be eligible for food stamps. You will no longer be eligible for Section 8 housing, et cetera, et cetera. You have to take responsibility with this money. You know, we will provide, and I say we, you know, government entrepreneurs, whatever, will provide more assistance as far as, you know, managing your money, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm just saying try something a little more radical than just having a welfare industry that sucks down, you know, through administrative costs, 70%, I'm just throwing out a figure, 70% of the money. You know, try something radically different to get, you know, if your kids are going to a bad school, all of a sudden you've got $20,000. You know, invest that into some other type of education or whatever.
My old deal, though, is that if people aren't earning something, they're probably not going to have the same respect for it than if they're just given something.
Well, I understand that. I think the model from the 60s has not been working very well.
Well, no, I agree with that.
But that's the kind of thing that you kind of assume that would be the case, that they're not going to have that respect for it or whatever, but think back, and that's why I used the term homesteading earlier, is
that's exactly what homesteading was.
You
was
have
like,
to realize that.
Boom, now you make something of that. Here it
sure.
is. Here's this nut. Now you got to make it grow.
But what you, maybe the part of that equation that you're missing is that when the Homestead Act was passed, you had to improve that land.
Right.
You couldn't just go out there.
Stake it and then wait
and,
for.
Well, right. Stake it and just go, whatever, I got this land. I mean, you had to go out there, and it's more than just going to work.
Right.
I mean, you're surviving. I mean, the idea of turning something that had, you know, woods on it into farmland, turning, you know, land
right,
that had never been tilled before.
Right, but that's what I was talking about. Homes that are, you know, I mean, if they're already condemned or at a certain level of disrepair, that's one thing. But if you've got properties that are otherwise usable.
Right, no, I'm...
You know what I'm just...
I mean, I understand, Benjamin, that there's a downside to what I'm saying, obviously, but I don't know whether it would really make – I really don't know whether it would make things any worse or better because it would at least break it would break some of the, you know, the static in the system, it seems like.
I guarantee you the people at Huffington Post might not take issue with it immediately, but in the aftermath of it they would because you would have lots of folks who would not be able to manage that money. Who would then find themselves right where they were to begin with? You'd
right.
have a lot. You'd have lots of sharks.
But those
out there
folks would have been there. It's the ones who would be
well, as
elevated. The ones
fair,
who
fair
who,
enough.
Who
so now we're saying now we're saying sink or swim, right? And the only
well,
way
I'm
for
not saying, I'm not saying that, that
but
you
what,
would you
but
know
what
you,
I'm
you
saying,
would try to have figured out a long term plan to. To phase this in.
But what I'm saying is the only way what Russ is talking about would work is if we let people sink. And I don't think that that is something that would necessarily, that people who are going to advocate for poverty in this country are ready for.
Why would it be required to let them sink?
Because that's
well,
what...
Because I said you'd have to give up, you know, your right to food stamps and et cetera, et cetera.
You get that
20,000 in order to take the government cheese, you'd have to be willing to, you know, legally sign documents to say unless you become incapacitated or whatever.
But if you make, but that's where we are right now. If you make, if you let's say, I'm a guy who makes $50,000 a year and I'm spending it all on hookers and dope, and then I get repossessed and this, that, and the other thing. We kind of say you get to swim or you get to sink because we don't. We don't, maybe you'll get it next year, but this year you don't get it because we'll look at what you make and say, nah, you don't qualify for this program, this one, or this one. You're just out of luck. Now, maybe next year, because you no longer have that $50,000 a year because you spend it on, you know what I mean? Then you maybe would qualify, but so it's not a permanent situation, but we already do allow people to... To not qualify.
I'm talking about people.
You have the means.
Right.
You just blew it.
Big brother in the background.
Yeah.
Return to your aerobic stations and prepare for calisthenic time.
And I wanted to report on one other piece of our conversation.
But no, but wait, hold. But the point, the problem with that becomes is that guy who's making 50 grand a year is not who we're talking about in the first place. We're talking about people who are already impoverished, right?
Right.
Are we just talking about everybody, Russ? I'm confused. Is everyone getting a check?
Well, yeah, everybody. Well, I mean, there's going to be, obviously, there'd be a cutoff if you're in the top 20%.
Because if the guy, well, $50,000 a year, does that make you the top 20%?
No, what I'm talking about
I'm
is,
not sure.
You know, I would have a limit
probably
to
not.
It as far as if you're a multimillionaire.
Right. So then what we're ultimately talking about is that you get this money. The people who are already budgeting and working and trying to put money away and are thinking about the future would probably use that. People that are still in the middle class are going to use that money to great benefit for themselves, I would imagine.
But if you've been poor all your life
and somebody writes
somebody
you a check for 20
check
grand,
50,000 or 20 grand,
whatever
does not mean you're going to go out and buy you a bunch of Jordans. I mean, let's not assume that about those folks. Let's make some assumption that they would say, snap, if I could get a vehicle, I could do more for myself. If I could send my kid over to this school, or you know what I'm saying? If they knew that was something that, you know, that you have to make some assumptions, positive assumptions.
I'm not saying that there would be some people that would do that. There would be some people.
And what percentage is what your argument is, right?
Not really. Not really.
I mean, because we can't go like, well, there would be some who would misuse it, so let's not ever do it, because that kind of always happens.
I'm saying for this to work, you'd have to let people sink. And the people that went out and bought every color of Air Jordan they could, and, you know, whatever, a Dodge Challenger to put them in the trunk of.
Well, I wouldn't just give them a lump sum. I would phase it in on a monthly payment basis.
Well,
you know, whatever that would work out to, you know, $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month.
So really, I mean, you would just increase the benefits of welfare.
Well, that almost seems like what I'm really talking about here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it almost. But you know, I don't know what else. You know.
So who wouldn't sign that document? Going, yo, let me get this right. You're going to
sovereign citizens.
Well, they sign it with a little, you know, colon hyphen.
Well, I'm just saying that people just have to come to grips with the terms that we are deindustrializing. You know, even if we're not deindustrializing, we simply don't need as many people doing the same jobs. It's just, you know.
Well, sooner enough.
I could bring back a million jobs tomorrow if we got rid of computers.
Sure. No, that's true.
All right.
Well, I'm going to go later.
All right, take care, Russ. I mean, really, I think what people might be more enticed to get would be a selection of gift certificates to various establishments like Burlington Coat Factory, the Dollar General.
You get a Walmart card.
Walmart card. I mean, people could live off of Walmart cards. And that might be something that we really do see in the future.
I think people do now.
I would submit to you that,
but think about
Walmart
this.
Walmart would be in favor of that.
Oh, Walmart would absolutely. And they would, you know, it might get sold initially that Walmart's going to give the government, you know, a dollar in credit for every 90 cents they spend in Walmart. But then the administration costs of all that would end up being that, you know, Walmart gets $4 for every dollar, you know, spent on the card, right? I mean, it would be something pretty out of whack like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if you would have that scenario of some sort. But like you were saying, Mike, if you're going to have an Urban Homestead Act or something
right.
like that, you know, how are you going to, I mean, you have in cities, you have all kinds of codes
right.
you have to worry about. And then, I mean, I know somebody that
could cost you $20,000 just to put a porch.
I know somebody that got a house on Truce for $15,000, and the house needed to have the electrics redone. I mean, the electricity worked, but everything had never been fully replaced. I mean, it had a fuse box still,
right.
and it had been, you know, hodgepodged, wired together over the years.
Right.
So they wanted to do it themselves. They wanted to do the electricity themselves. Dealing with Kansas City Power and Light, not being a licensed electrician, was pretty difficult for them.
Right.
And Kansas City Power and Light gave them a hard time because they don't want to deal with somebody who's not a licensed electrician because there's, you know, they make them sign all kinds of papers
right.
saying that if you kill yourself, it ain't our fault. You know, all kinds of problems there. And it's just one of those issues that when you're dealing with people who aren't licensed contractors and we're dealing with government money, and you're just
right.
opening yourself up to all different types of problems, et cetera. So maybe we should go, all right, you want an urban homestead? Here's a tent.
Can I have a yurt?
Because
yeah,
the thing
yeah,
is
sure,
that
man.
You couldn't, I mean, I agree with you.
I'll
you
give
could,
you
at this point,
a Walmart
you
gift card, and if they have yurts at Walmart,
if it was just an open lot, you couldn't build a house on it. I got you. You know.
I mean, it's very interesting. On my block, there are two vacant lots. And on both those vacant lots, because we've talked to the owners about putting a farm on there, a little garden, I guess it would be. They're not that big of lots. And both the owners of these lots are convinced that they are going to build new construction on these lots. And we talked to them 2 years ago about doing this. And they're like, oh, no, this summer we're going to do it. This summer you're going to see a bunch of stuff going on. Because 2 years ago, nothing's happened until about a month ago. And then all of a sudden, a for sale sign gets put up with a picture of, I guess, a spec house put up as well. Goofy. We'll build the suit. And it's just amazing to me because the lot that it's on, the house next door to that, when it's sold, and it's probably the roughest house on the block, but it's occupied by the owners of it, it sold for $30,000. It's got some, it's, you know, which is well below the rest of the houses on the street.
Right. So nobody's going to
pay
$100,000 to build a house.
$100,000? I mean, we're talking $200,000, right? I mean, $100,000 is going to get you a really dinky ass house that's going to make you feel silly.
But I think that's all you're going to do in a that kind of.
I don't know. You should see the picture of this house.
Because is the lot even big enough for
the lot is
because that's one of the other things. Because I knew a guy that was
you can't build the houses nearly as close together anymore.
Right. There was a guy that he almost got. Actually, he did get caught up in a deal because he bought a place that used to be an apartment building and thought, I'll just build an apartment building back right there, and found that he no longer could because there was something like 9 feet of space required on all sides or something like that, and that would have left him with this like 9 foot wide apartment. So he had like, you know, no room for stairs, you know. So yeah, there would definitely be some different stuff there. I mean, it's
just goofy to think that you can build new stuff. And then, you know, of course, on the east side of town, they have rebuilt several blocks. And it's very interesting. And a lot of these are Habitat for Humanity houses.
Right.
And, I mean, trust me, in 10 years, what are those houses going to look like?
I don't know. I mean, some
we'll
of those houses, I mean,
and
they've been doing it for more than 10 years. There's people who've been in those houses.
I know, and you see some of those houses. I mean, there's definitely some of those houses on Paseo that have already been condemned. And I don't know if that is the people that lived in them or the construction of them.
The construction of them.
I mean, I don't know.
That it just wasn't.
Yeah, that it was, I mean, new construction. I mean, you have an issue with that no matter where. I know somebody that lives in Mission Hills. It's not a close friend, but this is a person I'm associated with. And they bought a house. You know, Thomas Frank, in his book, What's the Matter with Kansas?
Uh-huh.
The first chapter is about people who buy houses in Mission Hills to tear down. Because there's nothing wrong with the house.
Right. No, I've
but you're
seen
just
that.
Like, why would I live in this dinky ranch? I'm
yeah, that's
build
not far from where I live, and I drive through Mission
mansion.
Hills all the time,
right.
And I see that.
You do that just to get pulled over so you can harass the cops?
Well, because it's a way to cut through.
Here's my make-believe driver's license.
To the Brookside, Waldo area. So I can meet up with my congressman and get my 25.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that, you know, they're like, we tore down the house that was on the property that we bought so we could build a brand new house,
right.
Because we didn't want to have maintenance on an old house. We didn't want to have maintenance. And they're like, and that was 10 years ago.
Right.
And now we have all kinds of maintenance on our brand new house.
Right. We should do a whole show sometime just on construction techniques. We, you know, the advancement of home building technologies is outrageous, and the fact they're still making studded 2x4 wooden A-frame nail and board houses with shingles is ridiculous, especially in Tornado Alley when Oklahoma got tore up by that tornado this last time. In that suicide, I put Bruce Springsteen's version of My Oklahoma Home is Blown Away. Perfect. You know, since the banjo was invented, houses have been blown away in Oklahoma. Isn't it time we build a different house? Because there are construction techniques that are readily available and not millions of dollars.
I think the banjo is actually an African instrument. I think it's people living in Oklahoma in houses, but nevertheless.
Anyway, they've been singing those woes
since
for way too long.
White guys learned how to play the banjo. Exactly. Their houses have been blown over.
You know, actually, I think it's a Chinese... what's that Chinese banjo thing? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But
oh, I made it here.
We could... you know, that and that 10-year window you gave was pretty generous. With a lot of these new home constructions, they're not up to snuff before they even get tenants in them.
But is that an example of planned obsolescence, or is that
hold on.
Capitalism run amok?
Banjo be from Africa.
Really?
There might be a Chinese banjo. I don't know.
Look that thing up. It's I think it might be a Japanese lira, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But
capitalism run amok. I used to manage a hardware-ish store. And they used to brag all the time that, you know, the average new construction home has over 400,000 separate products in it. Meaning, you know,
right,
you got all kinds of stuff in here to sell somebody building a house. Which, from a capitalist point of view, I guess, is awesome. But if you think about Occam's razor, that's definitely not the easiest way to do it. Construct a domicile of 400,000 separate pieces.
Right.
Which people always like to say that the way older homes were constructed is much better. And that's probably true. If you have a limestone rock foundation.
Yeah, German stone houses.
Right. I mean, some of these houses in Kansas City that are of, you know, my house is over 100 years old. And, you know, I look at some of the wood that was used. I'm like, you know, this, you can't get wood like this anymore. I'm at a wedding in the West Bottoms at some event space that's in an old, you know, warehouse, and I'm looking at the size of, I don't know what it was. It was like a 36 by 36. I mean, it was like a tree with the bark removed that
right.
was holding this building up, and I'm looking at it like, you know, you can't get wood like that anymore.
No.
Unless you rip it out of this building.
Right.
Right.
You know, you literally cannot buy,
I don't think
you can buy a piece of wood that big, you know, anymore. And you look at the wood in your house and, you know, the 2x, you know, like 4x10s and all these other, you know, floor joists, and you're just going, man, this wood is so old. This old growth stuff is so
right.
hard.
It's dense. Yeah.
It's going to last forever, that kind of thing. But then you go, man, you know, if you live in an old house, you are constantly doing something to it. It's never going to be finished.
Right. Well, and just
ever.
Shingling a roof.
All houses.
I
mean, like you said, your guy built a house 10 years ago and he's got the maintenance issues now.
But people always say, oh, the old house construction. And you're just like, oh, well, fair enough. But that old house is still going to require everything. But what you said about shingling a roof, I mean.
Asphalt shingles.
Every shingle you put three nails into, so that's three holes in your roof for every shingle you put on top of it.
And you're hoping that asphalt and tar combination is, you know, up to code and not made in China 15 years ago. Yeah, it's eventually going to leak. You know, monolithic structures for domiciles, whether it's the walls and ceiling.
Can you do that? I need to talk to this guy I know and see if you can, if that's something that you're allowed to do, create monolithic domes in the city. Because if we were to monolithic dome up, you know, a lot of this vacant land, that would be something interesting. Because you could even do earth contact monolithic domes that
right.
would almost have, you know, would have. I mean, it would look like pods. I mean, that's what a monolithic dome is.
Yeah, and you don't have to dome it, just so long as your ceiling, walls, and floor are all the same piece. It can be concrete, it can be cob, it can be square, it can be...
There's an area up north, a little neighborhood up north, that's what they've done, is it's all contact homes. Just north of, like, Houston Lake, do you know where that is?
Yeah.
There's like a little area up there between Houston Lake and Weatherby Lake. There's an area up there.
Yeah. Been arrested there a couple of times. It was just Weatherby Lake, but that's a long story. In my willingness to assert my sovereignty.
You gotta watch out for that, man.
I do not recognize your right to use that billy club.
But I had no sinister plots, but they didn't recognize my authority to claim my sovereignty. And usually the people with sticks, handcuffs, shocking implements, and sidearms win that argument.
Right.
They can be very persuasive. All right, well, we got Suicide coming up. It's Suicide 285? Is that right? Am I reading?
That is 285. And
I was looking at the Roman numerals, and I'm like, well, then it says 285.
So real quick, 30 seconds. We talked last week about it being cheaper to eat out than to shop. That very day, I went to the grocery store. I had to give them, you know, the card and whatever to get the price, but I got like enough pork chops to feed all five of my family members and have lunch for two the next day for $4.20.
$4.20.
And then, you know, you figure, you know, I think we had some noodle side and some.
And that's a price
vegetables.
That a Missouri State representative can get behind.
Right.
You'd vote for that. And 10 seconds before the suicide.